Ephesians chapter 6, y'all look like y'all are just gunning to go this morning. And so let's jump into it, the twofold responsibilities of children this morning. Verse number 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Let's pray together this morning. Our Father, we truly are thankful for your graciousness, for who you are, and for all that you do for us on a regular basis. Our minds have not forgotten the grace of God that has appeared unto all men and that now teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present evil world. So sustain us in that reality here this morning. Bless us as we learn from the Word of God, and in particularly on the subject of children obeying their parents in the Lord. And what may seem like to be a completely lopsided message would give certain instruction to all of us as parents that we are to train up our children in the way they should go, so that when they are old, they would not depart from it. So, Father, bless our time together this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Here inside of Ephesians chapter number 6, and particularly inside of verse number 1 and verse number 2, there are two operative terms that appear as imperative commands for us, which is a great place for us to start in understanding the text that the Lord has for us here inside of the Bible. Now, the first of those operative words that appears as an imperative command is the word to obey. That's how verse number 1 starts out in addressing children. Paul says children are to obey their parents in the Lord for the simplistic reason that it's right. Children are to obey. Hupakau in the Greek. It means to hear under. It has the idea, and we'll see this here in a little while, of subordination, to place a child's responsibility to place or to rank up underneath their parents, to listen, as it were, to their commands, and to follow through in practical behavior of what their parents would tell them to do. Children are to obey their parents. And then the second operative word here found in verse number 2 is the word honor. Timaeo in the Greek means to highly value, to respect, to count with honor, precious, or valuable. To obey is for a child to listen to its parents' instruction and to do what is told to them. Obedience, therefore, requires a submission to parental authority. Submission means that your personal autonomy no longer matters. What you think or how you feel or what you would rather in your life are completely irrelevant conversations to have, because children are simply told to obey their parents. Now, that doesn't fit in with modern psychological advices necessarily that are administered, but it is right according to God's holy word. Children are to find their place in society, and the place that God has for children in society is the subordinate role to their parents. Children are to obey, and that should be followed with an exclamation point. This is your responsibility, children. So never overcomplicate it. Never assume more responsibility than what you are given. Don't overcomplicate your life. And really, the idea of obedience really does paint or illustrate a very simplistic form of life. It is much easier to be a follower than it is to be a leader. James reminds us that there are not to be many public teachers of the Word of God, not many masters, because there's a greater condemnation that's associated with that, a greater responsibility. The Apostle Paul said that there had been a dispensation, a tremendous responsibility entrusted into his grasp as an apostolic leader of the church, a heavenly responsibility, as it were, entrusted to him. And so to whom much is given, much is required. And so to be a follower in that sense just really simplifies my life to where I don't have to make the calls. I don't have to create the shots. I just have to do what I am told. And so in those regards, that's the responsibility. And so don't overcomplicate it. The word children here inside of verse number one doesn't just refer to young children. I think that's the way that often we kind of read Ephesians 6, 1 and the idea that we have of it. This refers to all offspring universally. And I would kind of couple with that a parenthetical, as long as that child is under the umbrella of a parent's jurisdiction. Of course, a scripture doesn't naturally, in its given publication, didn't have the chapter divisions in it. And so if we could back up, I guess we would have to back up really several months in our mind. But to take chapter 5 and to bring it over into chapter 6 as Paul, under divine inspiration, is given to us the whole familial structure, the whole family structure, and what it is to be. He's gone through, and remember, he's reminded us that in this awesome privilege of marriage, that a man leaves his father and his mother, and he cleaves, or he's joined together unto his wife. And that idea is that in that relationship, that particular person has left the jurisdiction of the home prior, where mother and father reigned supremely, and they are now joined in an autonomous relationship, now being joined together with their spouse. And they are joined in the sense that Christ says that no man, no other entity is to ever cause them to be placed asunder. And so just kind of keep that, if you will, as we're working through the text here this morning, in the back of your mind, that children refer to all offspring, and the idea of obedience is strictly held in that idea, as children are inside of the home and up underneath the tutelage and the leadership of their parents. They are to obey. They are to hupotasso. They are to subordinate. They are to submit. They are to bear under. They are to listen to their parents' instruction. And they are to render obedience. And at the same time, they are to honor. To get down to the fine brass matter here, I would say that to obey would reach a point to where children eventually, outside of the home and developing their own interpersonal relationships inside of society, are no longer under the strict regimen to obey their parents. But they are never relieved from the awesome responsibility of honoring their parents, of highly valuing their parents. Children are to, verse number one, obey their parents. Notice the next expression, in the Lord. This is as if you are obeying the Lord. And children are to obey their parents as if their parents were God. That sounds pretty strict, but that's the concept of the scriptures. Your parents, children, stand in the place of God in your life. They are that divine authority that God has placed in your life. God is a God of order. He is a God of authority, and he has set up certain governments in our life. Certain ranks, certain positions, right? More broadly, we're told that we are to submit ourselves unto higher powers. We're to submit ourselves to government authorities. We're to remember that the one that bears rule doesn't bear the sword in vain. That just simply means that the cop has a gun on his side for a reason. And we're to listen. We're to obey. We're not to threaten. We're not to push all of those. Of course, God is the highest authority, and so when there's a contradiction, we ought to obey God rather than men. But all of the Bible agrees that there are given subordinate relationships within the context of all of humanity, and one of the premier ones is that, again, that children are simply subject to their parents, and so they're subject in the sense that their parents are giving out the commands, and so their obedience is rendered as if they were serving God as they are serving their parents. And again, we might just add here, what a grave responsibility, parents, to know that we are assumed to be in that awesome position, to be given such a responsibility that we are speaking with a prophet's voice to our children. We are speaking on the behalf of God. And we'll look at this as we come back next week. For that reason, verse number 4, we're not to provoke our children unto wrath, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There's a lot, really, I want to say about that. We don't have time this morning. But it's not just about coming up with rules and standards. It's not just about trying to separate ourselves and seeing how strict and how much more holier than thou that we can become. But it is to realize that we have been given a heritage. We have been given the awesome responsibility of raising human beings, children. That's awesome. Because I didn't really do good with like taking care of my pets growing up. But God's given us this awesome responsibility of taking care of people, of children. And then not to just feed them and give them something to drink and put them to bed at nighttime, but to raise them in such a manner that they would raise their children to serve the Lord. That's the idea. That it's passed down from one generation to another. And so awesome responsibility. And if you're wondering about that idea here, that parents are kind of stepping into the position of God inside of their children's life, of course we're speaking of idolatry or sacrilege here, but just as an assumption, here's what God said to Moses all the way back in the book of Exodus, as God is going to rear Moses up and have him speak on his behalf to Pharaoh and really usher commands. Here's what God says, Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. The Lord said unto Moses, "See, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh. I've let you assume that role to speak on my behalf, to give out my decrees, to utter my dictates, to give out my orders to a certain individual." And again, that's the awesome role that parents have with their children. And so children, the advice, the command, the imperative comes to you. Do what your parents tell you to do as if God himself were telling you to do it. That's obedience. Now, for a child to honor their parents is connected with obedience, but at the same time, it's distinct from obedience, okay? And I guess probably the best way of explaining that is, you know, the parent tells the child, clean your room. And maybe has to tell them some 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 times to get that accomplished. There's major problems if that happens, right? But the parent tells the child, clean your room. And the child eventually, maybe under threat of loss of life, goes and cleans the room. And all the huffing and puffing and the rolling of the eyes. And if you could peer into the mind of that child, the child is not cleaning its room, although it is cleaning its room on the outside. The child can clean the room. In other words, it can obey without honoring. But the Bible connects both of these terms together. Children are not only to do what their parents have told them to do, but they are to honor their parents in doing that very same thing. And so to honor, to go back to the definition of it, is to hold in high regard. It is to have reverence and to view your parents as precious, precious in regards to value. Your parents are the most valuable gift that God has given to you in your life, and so treat them as such, right? It is to see them in the God-given place that God has allowed them to operate in. And so children, see them in that. See the awesome responsibility that's entrusted both to you and to yourself, and not only do what they say, but appreciate what they are saying in your life. Appreciate that and honor them and simply do what you have been told to do with a tremendous attitude. Now there is for us kind of a general idea of a child's given responsibility. Now, what I want to do in the time that we have left together this morning is I want to point out three specific details that will hopefully help us better understand and appreciate all that the apostle is given to us. So I'll just give you three headings this morning and we'll be finished. All right, here's the first one. And they come, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. So this will be real simple for us. All right, number one is the rightness of the command. The rightness of the command. I love the verbiage of verse number one. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And there doesn't really need to be anything else said. Now, I can't do that because I'm a preacher and I have to say something, but it doesn't need necessarily anything else to be said. This is right, all right? Right off the bat, children say, or God says, children, do this because it's right. It's just, that's just the basis of it, all right? The word right means correct, just, or righteous. In other words, this is exactly the way it should be done. When children obey their parents, they are doing exactly what they should be doing. And that's what I mean. You don't have to overcomplicate it. Children, you don't have to sit around and say, well, I wonder if I should or should not do what mom or dad have told me to do. You don't have to do that. You don't have to come up with your own plan. You don't have to come up with your own idea. It's just right. It's right for mom or dad to say it and you to say, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. That's it. That's all it should be. It doesn't have to be some deep, long, thought-out process. It's actually very, very simple. In fact, the text here would lend itself that children can do no better than to obey their parents. Children can do no better. You can come up with no greater plan than to obey your parents, all right? This is the epitome of righteousness. This is right. This is the top level. This is the top tier that children can ascend to, so much so that if a child did everything else right, and I can't imagine a child ever doing that, but if a child was to do everything else right and this one thing wrong, it wouldn't be right. For a child to do everything else right but not to obey his or her parents would cause us not to think very much of that child. Be it a 4.0 grade average, be it graduating at the top of your class, the highest honor, having the greatest work ethic, and yet being disrespectful to your parents. It doesn't matter what else you accomplish in these regards. If you don't get this right, you have not done right. It's the rightness of the command. And then number two, verse number two, the richness of the command. Paul writes, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, again, just several things we're not going to take time to deal with this morning, but that is an amazing verse in verse number two. Because the day and age into which Paul lived and had his ministry, women weren't esteemed at all in culture, at all, to the point that they had no opinion. They didn't participate in much of the religious ceremonies. They could only go so far into the temple. They had no opinions in society. They were almost to the point counted as pieces of property. And so here's a teaching of Christ bleeding through apostolic words. And Paul says, children, when you come to this relationship inside of your family, you not only honor your father, but you make sure that you honor your mother on equal plane. Honor your father and your mother. The richness of the command. Verse number two, again, begins with this word honor, which does differ from the term obey. I like the way Charles Hodge said it. Charles Hodge said, honor connects the outward conduct with inner feeling. All right? It connects the outward conduct with inner feeling. So not only am I obeying externally, but I have a good attitude about my obedience. I'm saying inside, I would love to do what mom and dad have told me to do because mom and dad are awesome, right? I had to throw that in so hopefully my children would kind of go home with that mentality today, all right? I can do no better than this. And so this is what I want to do. This is what I need to do in my life. And so here's what's at stake. You can obey without honor, but God is not pleased with that sort of obedience. He's not pleased with that. Look, if you have your Bibles open, look down inside of verse number six as we continue over the next several weeks here. He's going to get in that relationship that servants have with their masters. And in our modern day correlation of that, it would be an employee to an employer. And in verse number six, he says in that relationship that the employee is not to serve with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, here it is, doing the will of God from the heart. There's honor.
There's honor. I'm not only doing what's right on the outside while I'm rolling my eyes when the employer can't see me, but I'm doing it from the heart. So much so that when the employer is not around, I still do what I know I should be doing. And so the idea, children, of honoring your parents is not just saying yes, sir, and no, sir, or yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. It's the idea, it's not just the idea of doing as I am told, but it's the idea that when mom and dad aren't around, I'm still doing what I know I should be doing because I'm doing the will of God from my heart. I'm honoring them with the way that I live, with the decisions that I'm making, the places I'm going, everything about my life. I want to keep it inside of those regards. Again, to make the correlation into a broader sphere of Christian service, John says it like this in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 3. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Wouldn't you say that's the love of God? In other words, if you want to love God means that you keep God's commandments. No man can say, I love God, that doesn't keep his commandments. In fact, John would say inside of that same epistle that if you say you love God, then do not keep his commandments. You're a liar, and the truth is not in us. And so to love God is to keep his commandments. Jesus said, John 14, if you love me, do what I say. Keep my commandments. And so we say yes and amen to that. Of course that's love, okay? God, I love you, and so I'm doing what? What's the operative word? I'm obeying you. But it's not the letter of the law. It's not just coming to church while in my heart I'm saying, I wish I wasn't at church. It's not just reading my Bible and saying, I wish I didn't have to read my Bible today. It's not just praying. It's not just sowing. It's not just giving or doing or whatever it is and saying in my heart, I wish I wasn't doing that. But it's doing it with the heart involved also. Loving God's law. Doing what I'm supposed to do. That's really loving God and honoring God. And so John continues. Listen to the last part of it now. John says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. It doesn't bother me to do like I'm supposed to do. Now listen to me. Can we be honest this morning? It bothers some of us. It bothers some of us. And so we become a Pharisee in our own right. We love to pray standing in the corners of the street and in the synagogues. We love for folks to see that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, but inside, we really ain't doing that, are we? Inside, here's what God says, all right? Then we'll come back to the whole parenting thing, all right? God says, this people draw nigh. They draw near to me with their lips and with their mouths. They do honor me, but their hearts are far away, far away. And so the idea here of what Paul is saying about the child is that you're not to just obey in external terms, but you're to love and you're to honor, and the command is not to be grievous. You know, I wish I could go back. I had to stop and think if I really meant that or not, because there's a lot of things I don't want to have to do again in going back. But to just go, I don't know if it ever sinks in with the child in those formidable years, you know. But I think every one of us eventually walk through that door, we cross over that threshold to where we finally figure out that mom and dad really didn't want to kill me and destroy my life and to make everything miserable, okay? Now listen to me. That doesn't mean mom and dad are always right about everything, because they're not perfect. Okay? Except for me. All right? Okay? All right? They're not, but it's always right for you to listen to what mom and daddy say. And to have in your mind, because listen, you're just as apt to be wrong as they are. And so again, don't overcomplicate it. God's put them in the position to make the call. Okay? I know I feel like I'm all across the board this morning, all right? I'm just trying to make sure y'all don't get out too early, all right? One of the men that were on my ordination council, I hadn't talked to him. It's probably the last day I ever saw him, however many years ago that was. Evangelist Dave Clark. He was an eccentric fella and walked with the Lord. I remember him. And he drove. It was some 14 hours. He had actually drove like 4 hours out of the way to go bring me a Bible
to pick up a Bible and bring it that he wanted to give to me on the day of my ordination. And he counseled with me in a room for about an hour one Sunday afternoon and all these questions, doctrinal questions and things like that. I remember soul winning with him. And evangelist Dave Clark made this statement to me in regards to pastoral authority. I wasn't in that role. I was just a church member at that point in time. And I remember him telling me this. He said, listen, he said, unless your pastor tells you something that is just completely definitively against the teaching of the Word of God, he said, just listen to it. Just do it in certain regards, you know. He said, just do it. Just listen to him. He said, as long as his heart's right and he's heading in the right direction and he's not teaching heresy, he said, just listen to him. Because at the end of the day, that's all that God requires out of you, to obey them that have the rule over you. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't usurp the authority, right? Don't try to put yourself into that place, because you don't have to. You're getting everything out of whack. It's the same thing what Paul's saying here. Don't get it out of whack. Don't get it confused. Don't usurp that authority. Just obey, and obey with the mindset that what my parents are saying to me, they're intending to be for my good, the richness of the command. And let me just say this before we move on to this last verse that we're going to look at this morning. To honor our mother and father is the first commandment in the second table of the law. Okay, so you know there are two tables of the law, two tablets, not tablets, but stone tablets of the law. And one of them deal with our relationship to God. And so you're not to have any other gods, and you're not to make into the any graven image, and you're not to take the name of the Lord your God in vain, and you remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. And there's the first table of the law that reminds us of our relationship with God. The second table of the law has those last six commands on it. And the first of those commandments deal, or that whole table of law, the second one, deals with our relationship to humanity by and large, how we act and behave. Ironically, the first commandment in the societal commands is to make sure that children are honoring their parents. As if to say, if we can make sure this is right in society, everything else will kind of take care of itself. And listen, let's be honest. Let's be honest today. That's where we failed at. And that's why when you look around at the world and you're thinking, man, how in the world did we get here? How did it end up like this? How are we even voting on things and thinking about things? How in the world did all of that happen? Let's trace it all the way back. And when you get to the origin of it all, you'll find that there were some home structures to where there were some children who weren't put into a position to where they were made to honor and to obey their parents. Because somebody had the crazy idea one day that children have just as much right to make decisions as parents do. And that sounds wonderful for a Dr. Phil television show. But not for what the Bible has to say. Right. The richness of the command. This is, by the way, the only commandment that deals directly with the familial relationship found in the entire Ten Commandments. It's the only one. Again, God's saying you want the family structure to be right, then have your family put together in the sense that children obey and honor their parents. All right. Number three this morning, we'll be finished. There's the reward of the command found in verse number three. Paul says that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, verse number three mentions that this is also not just the first commandment on the second table of the law, but it's the first commandment with a promise that's attached to it. It's really a twofold promise. Just as there's a twofold responsibility to both honor and to obey, there's a twofold promise or reward that's attached to the compliance with those sort of commandments. First of all, Paul says that it may be well with thee. That refers to the quality of your life, and that you may live long, which refers to the quantity of your life. And so both quality and quantity of life are held together as rewards
of compliance to honoring and obeying our parents. And those who have learned to obey their parents have a much higher percentage of succeeding in all other areas of their life. All other areas. All right? Just by getting into the position that you're supposed to be in and obeying and honoring, both of those terms together. When you have a child that's raised in that way, okay, that child grows up into a very profitable citizen in generic society, all right? And we could talk about all kinds of different things. You could even talk about the realm of athleticism. This morning, a child that knows how to just take instruction from its parents can take instruction on a ball field. A child that can take instruction from their parents and take instruction on a ball field can take instructions from an employer. A child that can take instruction is a child that can find their place inside of society and can actually make a contribution instead of being another welfare statistic. Can actually do something in life. Instead of sitting back and wanting someone to take care of them, they figure out a way to take care of other folks. That's society. That's the God-given intention behind the performance of society. This is the fabric that the family structure was woven together on. And society is nothing more than a bunch of families that are placed alongside of each other living together. That's it. All right? And so there's the reward of that command. All right? Generally speaking, those who obey these commandments, it's well with them, and they live long in life. Now, let me tell you one more thing, and we're going to draw down to a close this morning. Sadly for us, the Bible is replete with example after example after example of children who did not honor their parents. And as I was in my study this past week, just wanting to think of some good godly examples, like definitive examples of some children who really bunkered in and obeyed and honored their parents, and to just give you that life example, for every one I could come up with 10 that were the exact opposite of that. And you ever wonder about those gory stories that you find inside of your Bible, and do yourself a little study and go back to their formidable years, and you'll find a lot of times that their relationship wasn't right with their parents. And because the relationship wasn't right with their parents, their relationship wasn't right with a lot of other things, namely, especially God, in their life. And so for all of these examples where folks weren't doing right, where children weren't obeying and honoring their parents, you know what you find out? It didn't go well for them. It didn't go well for them. And the vast majority of them didn't live. I think one of the negative examples of this would be Samson. You know, probably a lot of our minds have already went there this morning. You know, a man that honestly couldn't care what mom and daddy, because he knew better than mom and daddy. And did his own thing. One of the saddest statements about Samson is that he began to deliver the nation of Israel. He couldn't finish it because his life's cut short. And why would his life be cut short? Well, you can't help but see the direct correlation that he just simply didn't obey and honor his parents in his life. There's one example, though, that I would like to remind us of in a positive sense, and that was the man by the name of Joseph inside of our Bibles. Joseph stands as an outstanding illustration of what it means, I believe, to both obey and honor your parents. In fact, as far as we were told, Joseph always honored and obeyed his parents all the way through their lives. All the way through the lives. When you see Joseph in the latter years of his life in Egypt, and as that prince of Egypt, he's got his daddy on his mind. He wants to do right still by his own. When he could have lived his own life. And man, couldn't we preach a whole another message there? He's in Egypt. He's away from his father and his family. He could do whatever he wanted to do in his own right. And mama's already, you know, passed away, and daddy, you know, was none the wiser. And he could sow his wild oats, and he could live the way he wanted to. But constantly, he never forgot about daddy. And he's always staying and want to know how to do good. And he wants to bring daddy back in. And he wants to when his daddy can't provide for himself, he wants to provide for his daddy. And just a tremendous story. And so here's a man, Joseph, who both obeys and honors his parents. And you know, one of the greatest benefits of all of that shows up in his life.
as he begins handling adversity, difficulty, and even scandal in his life. He doesn't fold up underneath the pressure as his brothers throw him down in a pit, are contemplating killing him, as they sell him off into slavery, as he's lied about, as he's forgotten about, as things, as stories are made up on him, as he's facing all kinds of things going on in his life. And one day he thinks he's going to be the next man in charge, and the next day he doesn't know if he's going to live to eat another meal, and all those things are going on. And yet you find this resilience in the life of Joseph to where he just handles it. Even when things aren't going well for him, things are still going well for him. He said, "Man, what do you attribute that to?" Well, I think there's one direct line tied all the way back to this man was a man who grew up loving, obeying, and honoring his parents. And the reality at the last end, the last part of his life, is that he is exalted 1,000 times over all of the adversity in his life because of it. He's placed right up there. What an amazing testament to this great reality of what Ephesians chapter 6 verses 1 through 3 are telling us. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. You can do no better than to just simply do with a great attitude what you have been told to do. Let's stand this morning for prayer.